You may be seated. I've always thought when we sing that last verse, I can't help it. Maybe there's just enough kid in me, but I've always thought, yay, Lord, we greet thee. You know, that's what I always think when I get there. Take your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I just want to warn you, if you see my wife and I in the next few days, and we have dog hair on our clothes, all right? I just want to explain to you, we're dog sitting for my daughter, and we have their two dogs while they're in Tennessee for a few days. I get a picture of Ben's dad. Get this picture sent to me of my son-in-law's dad, and he's holding my granddaughter. So I sent him a picture of me with the two dogs in my lap. Anyway, everybody has to bear their cross, all right? Bear their burden. But that's why that'll be. Matthew chapter 13, if you will. We're going to look in verse 53. Now, you may think, boy, it's the most unusual Christmas time sermon there's ever been, but it does fit and it does have connection. So if you'll bear with me, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. I want you to go back, if you will, to verse 55. For this question is asked, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the carpenter's son? Now, it's really not part of the message, but is not his mother called Mary? Yes, that's right. And his brethren, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? I just want to point out to you, there is a church that teaches the perpetual virginity of Mary, and that is the biggest lie that's ever been thrown out there in the world. The Bible's real plain that Mary had a flock of other young'uns after she had the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, I threw that in. There's no extra charge for that, but I want you to focus there. Is not this the carpenter's son? You know, down through time, since the birth of Christ, there's been argument and conjecture offered, if you will, as to the parentage of Jesus Christ. Basically, it's anything but believe what the Bible says. Amen. Really, I mean, we'll take anything. It's anything to get rid, if you will, of the supernatural regarding the first advent of our Savior. And if we can get rid of that anyway, I mean, they've gone so far as one guy came out and claimed that Jesus was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier, all right? All kinds of things have been floated out there. But I want you to notice here in our text, the question is asked, is not this the carpenter's son? Right. Now, it was asked because in the context here, notice, if you will, is what he did there in verse 54. He came to his own country. He taught in the synagogue, and his teaching was so amazing, it so astonished them that they said, where in the world did this man get this wisdom? And how is it he's able to work these mighty works? I mean, hey, isn't he the carpenter's son, all right? How can he have such knowledge? And after all, just the son of a carpenter. Well, is this the carpenter's son? No. No, it wasn't. He's not the son of a carpenter. And you say, preacher, why? How do you know that? Well, let me give you about 14 reasons, all right? Just real quickly. I hope you have your Bible. We're going to turn to a lot of Scripture. It'll mostly be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all right? So it's not hard to find. And if you have your Bible there, I want you to say, you see, I know he was not the carpenter's son because no carpenter's son was born of a virgin. No carpenter's son was born of a virgin. Look back Matthew chapter 1, would you? Matthew chapter 1. What a marvelous verse. What a marvelous truth. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now, turn over to Luke chapter 2, all right? Luke chapter 2 this morning. Well, actually, Luke chapter 1. We'll get to chapter 2 in a little bit. Luke chapter 1, if you will. Look down in verse 26. I want you to understand and have a grasp of what the Bible says. Is not this the carpenter's son? No, because no carpenter's son was born of a virgin. Right. Never happened. That would kind of negate the whole thing, wouldn't it?
Amen.
No carpenter's son born of a virgin. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And look there, if you will, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And verse 35 says, God's going to do it.
Amen.
God's going to do it.
Right.
Hey, listen, you can try to run all you can. You can run everywhere. You can run down every argument you can. But there's no way the Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter's son, because he is born of a virgin.
Right.
He was born of a virgin in an absolutely supernatural birth.
Amen.
Never taken place before, and it'll never happen again.
Right.
Never happen again. Supernatural birth. No, he wasn't a carpenter's son. Why? He's born of a virgin. The second reason he's not the carpenter's son, because no carpenter's son has ever had his birth announced by a bunch of angels.
There you go.
Never happened. Never happened. Now, I've got nothing against carpenters.
No, sir.
My dad was a carpenter.
Yeah.
My father-in-law was a carpenter.
Yeah.
They worked. My dad, man, he was capable, talented builder, and he built the house that I live in right now, and he built two houses in Georgia. One he sold before we could move into
Amen.
It, and the other one we moved into and didn't even live there a year. You see, it was announced by angels. Go there to Luke 2. I told you we'd get there pretty quick.
Amen.
Look, if you will, in verse 8, Luke 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Y'all ever got birth announcements? Somebody send you, you know, deal, nowadays, even before a child is born, they have this big deal, a gender reveal. I'd love it if somebody, it doesn't work out the way they think, you know, but they want to tell you before the birth, you know, have this big deal and bust a balloon or something, you know, and reveal that's going to be a boy or it's going to be a girl. Hey, well, I tell you what, I've gotten birth announcements too, where somebody, you know, you get this card and maybe a picture of this little wrinkled, red-faced little rascal, you know, and they had announced that birth. Well, listen, the birth of Jesus Christ was announced by the angels.
Yes, sir.
Angels came. Boy, that night on that hillside out there, that Judean hillside, those shepherds watching their sheep, and all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but I probably wouldn't have heard the announcement if I'd have been there, because if that happened, I'd have probably passed out, you know? Just think about it. You're out there on the hillside at night, and all of a sudden, bam, here's this angel shows up, and the glory of the Lord. I mean, it had to be a bright thing, and somebody had to wake me up and say, "Man, did you hear that?" "What?" You know, but they made the announcement, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David Not a carpenter's son.
Oh, no.
But the Savior.
Amen.
The Savior. Yeah, you said, how do you know he wasn't the carpenter's son? Because his birth was announced by angels. That's
Amen.
Why. That's why. I'll tell you something else. Go back with us to Matthew chapter 2. No carpenter's son has ever had to flee for his life into Egypt after birth. All right? No carpenter's son ever had to flee into Egypt after his birth. But that's what happened to Jesus Christ. Verse 13 in Matthew chapter 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt.
Right.
Hey, how many times you ever heard of a king saying, we got to kill that carpenter's kid?
No.
No, because there's no threat from the carpenter's child.
That's right.
There's no threat there. But there's a threat, if you will, from
Amen.
The Savior of the world,
That's right.
the Son of God. I'm saying to you this morning, I want you to be sure you get it. Is not this the carpenter's son? No. No carpenter's son ever had to flee to Egypt to avoid being killed by the king. It didn't take place. Is not this the carpenter's son? No. No. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Here's another reason. Here's another reason. Now, I guess I could say that my brother, we're both the son of a carpenter.
Right.
Dad earned his living. He was a preacher, and he went to Vidalia, Georgia, and began a church there. And
right.
But in order to make a living, he worked as a carpenter.
Right.
And so I guess he and I could both say we're the son of a carpenter.
Right.
But neither one of us ever had the experience. It's right here in this Word of God, all right? Luke chapter 2, look at verse 46.
Right.
And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him, that's Jesus,
mm-hmm.
sitting in the temple, or found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions.
Yeah.
And all that heard him were more astonished at his understanding and answers.
Right.
Hey, is not this the carpenter's son? No, because no carpenter's son ever astounded the doctors in the temple.
Yes,
never happened. My brother and I have never astounded anybody. All right? I don't think anybody's ever thought, you guys are astounding. No. We won't go into what may have said, but they never said that. All right? But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was only 12 years old. About 12 years old, here they are in Jerusalem. They've come down to worship. They've come down, for the Passover. And the whole crowd leaves and come to find out they left Jesus. And they left him. And it's 3 days before they found him. Came back and they could find him. And when they found him in the temple, sitting with the doctors. Now, not the medical doctors, okay? But the learned doctors of the land. The theologians of the time, if you will. And he's there talking to them and asking them questions and astounding them with what he asked and what he answered to their question. Hey, I'm telling you, he's not the carpenter's son, because no carpenter's son ever astounded the doctors in the temple. No, only one did that. I'll tell you something else. Look, if you will, Matthew chapter 14. You say, preacher, we're back and forth. I know it, but we're not going anywhere. We got a little bit of time. We're probably going to finish early even then, all right? Matthew chapter 14. If you will, look at verse 28. Verse 28, Matthew chapter 14. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou bid me come unto thee on the water. All right? Come unto thee. Let me back up to verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. I'm saying to you, it's not the carpenter's son, because no carpenter's son ever walked on water. No carpenter's son ever walked on water. You say, well, wait a minute now. Peter did, yeah, but I'm pretty sure Peter, if anything, we got any good guess, I believe he's probably a fisherman's son. Because in those days, you pretty much followed whatever career your dad had. And so he was a fisherman. Good guess, his dad was a fisherman. Now, I wouldn't preach that to you, but I know this, he wasn't a carpenter's son. He wasn't a carpenter's son. And no carpenter's son ever walked on the water. None of them did it. We'll go one even better than that, all right? And you go over to Mark chapter 4, all right? Mark chapter 4. Here's the great account in the Word of God of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's out on the Sea of Galilee, and they got in the boat that evening after the Lord had just done a great job preaching and teaching, and they get in the boat, and the Bible said, man, there's a tremendous storm came up, and the disciples on the boat with him were, you know, they were scared to death. In verse 38, they woke him up because he was asleep. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and said, get the buckets and start bailing. Well, wait a minute, that's not what he said. That's not it at all. He said in verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? All right. Verse 39, the last of it, he said, peace, be still. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You look now at verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He wasn't the carpenter's son, I'll tell you that, all right? Son of the carpenter could have never taken care of that, rebuked the wind and the sea. Couldn't have done that. No, couldn't have done that. No carpenter's son could do it. Look at Mark chapter 10. Is not this the carpenter's son? No, it's not the carpenter's son. You look at verse 51, Mark chapter 10. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Here we are outside the city of Jericho. The Bible tells us this fellow named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus heard Jesus was coming by and began to cry out to him. And they said, you be quiet. And he said, take a hike. He kept crying out to Jesus. And the Lord came up and said, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want to receive my sight. You hear me? No carpenter's son. No carpenter's son was ever good enough to give sight to the blind. None of them. Couldn't do it. The Lord Jesus Christ did, though. So what are you saying? I'm saying he's not the carpenter's son. He's not the carpenter's son. Go with me to James, or John chapter 5. John chapter 5, if you would, this morning. John chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 6. John chapter 5. Now, I'll be honest with you. We could be here a long time today just going to one thing after another like this. And I don't know if you're having as much fun as I am, but I'm really having a good time right now, all right? And just thinking, is not this the carpenter's son? Oh, no way. No way. Because no carpenter's son could have made the lame to walk. No carpenter's son could have made the lame to walk. You look there in John chapter 5, look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. You know, wouldn't it have just been simpler if that guy would have said yes? Just if he just said yes. But Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Oh, hear me. No carpenter's son. No carpenter's son could have come along and taken this man who said there, I have no man. Well, I tell you, the one that was standing in front of him was a man, but he wasn't just a man. Amen. He wasn't just a man, but he dead sure wasn't the carpenter's son. Now, I'm not even going to turn over there, but you can turn to John chapter 11 if you want to. Hey, no carpenter's son could raise the dead. No carpenter's son could raise the dead. What a wonderful chapter 11 is in the Gospel of John. The Lord, he delayed going down to Bethany when he heard that Lazarus was sick. Now, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He wanted Lazarus to die.
Right.
Well, man, he didn't care much about us. Just wait and see, all right? Just wait and see. He waited until Lazarus was dead, and he went down to the city of Bethany, and he's greeted there by Lazarus' sister. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And he said, don't worry, he'll rise again. And she said, as a great faithful believer, and I'm not mocking her, don't misunderstand me. She said, I know he'll rise again at the last day. But then Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let me tell you, no carpenter's son ever said that, all right? No carpenter's son could have said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he proved it. When he stepped up there and he said, move that stone out of the way. And those people standing by said, Lord, he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. I mean, come on. He said, just do what I said. Roll that stone away. They rolled it away, and the Lord Jesus called out, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of there. Not any carpenter's son. Not the carpenter's son. Can I just take it just one step further this morning? Would you back up to Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2. Now, turn here with us, if you would. Even if you've not turned to any other scripture, would you turn to Mark chapter 2? Mark chapter 2, verse 5, we'll begin reading. Here's the great account of a man who had palsy, and he had four friends that thought enough of him to bring him to Jesus. And of course, if you're familiar with your Bible and you know what happened, when they got there, the place was packed out. They couldn't get him in. So they went up on the roof, tore a hole in the roof, and lowered their friend, that man with palsy, right down in front of Jesus. You know, if you were just sitting there and you were sitting close, if the roof opens up and something starts coming out, you'd have made room, right? And they made room. And verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh my, what a statement. And verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, who does this guy think he is? No. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? See, they're sitting there thinking, this is a carpenter's son. This is the carpenter's son. But you look, you know, and immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the son of the carpenter, oh no, the son of man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I don't guess they had, all right? They'd never seen it that way. Why? Because it wasn't the carpenter's son. Carpenter's son never could have done that. Obviously, he was much more than a carpenter's son. This one of whom it was said, never a man spake like this man. This one who spoke with great authority, and this one who exhibited supernatural knowledge, he was not the carpenter's son. That's not who he was. Now, I've said we'd be in the Gospels. We're going to turn to the last verse I want you to turn to. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy with me, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I confess to you, when I'm turning there, I have trouble remembering sometimes, is this before or after Thessalonians? Well, it's after, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to look at the last verse right here, would you? The last verse right here. You said, who was he? Is not this the carpenter's son? No. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's who he was. As John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says on that that Word was manifest in the flesh. In the flesh. That's who Jesus Christ was. He wasn't the carpenter's son. He wasn't the carpenter's son. He was Mary's son, but he was the Son of God.
Amen.
The Son of God. He was and is the virgin-born Son of God. But can I say this to you? This is the one thing I think about at Christmas time all the time. He's no longer a babe in the manger, all right? He's no longer a babe in the manger. He's seated at the right hand of God to intercede for sinners. Brother Marion brought that out in Sunday school lesson this morning. That's where he is. He's seated at the right hand of God today to make intercession for us. He's our advocate with the Father. He's our advocate with the Father. The old devil comes along and throws some charge at you, and the Lord Jesus Christ speak up and say, "Nope, that's one of mine. That's one of mine. That's one of mine." That's who he is. By the way, he's the one who's coming back soon. Soon. By the way, when he returns, it'll not be as a carpenter's son. No, sir. It'll be as a line of the tribe of Judah. But he's coming back. He's coming back. Question, do you know him? Do you know him? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Listen, I didn't say, have you made a decision? I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking this morning if you signed a card. I'm asking, have you been born again? Do you know that? You see, that's what Jesus Christ, the man who was not the carpenter's son, told Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. You have to be. Have you been born again? Do you know him? Do you know him? Say, preacher, hallelujah, I do. If you do, this message now, you may not have enjoyed it as much as I did, but man, just the truth that's there just excites me to such an extent. But here's my question. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I've trusted him as my Savior. Are you serving him? Are you serving him? What are you doing with your life? You serving him? Preacher, I have to make a living. I didn't say there's anything wrong with you making a living. Well, my question is, are you serving him? Are you serving him? Is there time in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just on your convenient plan? Or does he have the preeminence that he deserves? This one, if you will, who is born of a virgin, who had his birth announced by angels, who had to flee into Egypt to save his life, who astounded the doctors in the temple while just a child, this one who walked on water, this one who could command the wind and the waves to cease, this one who could give sight to the blind, this one who could make the lame man walk, this one who could raise the dead, this one who can forgive sins. I'll tell you something, he deserves the preeminence in your life. He deserves first place. I mean, he deserves you getting inconvenienced. He deserves your time, your effort, your tithe. Everything goes with it. Are you serving him? Are you serving him? Oh, what a Savior. Mrs. Noble's favorite song. Oh, what a Savior. I tell you, he is a great Savior. If he's your Savior, you ought to be serving him. You ought to be serving him. Hey, do you need to spend a little time at the altar today? You need to spend a little time here talking to him. Maybe you need to just say, Lord, I haven't done what I should. Forgive me and help me. what you need this morning. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed today? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we know today beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're not the carpenter's son. Lord, you're that virgin-born Son of God. Lord, the only one who could take our sins in your body and bear those sins on that tree. Lord, you're the one that could do it. Only you. And Lord, this morning, anybody here that's saved got saved because they trusted you. But Lord, if there's somebody here or somebody listening never trusted you as their Savior, dear God, I pray the Holy Spirit's conviction would grip them. They'd realize they need a Savior today. And Lord, if they're here, they'd come, trust you, and call upon you today and ask you to save them. Lord, if they're listening in, that they'd bow wherever they are. And right now, by faith, confess to you, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me for being a sinner and save my soul. Lord, right now, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you. Lord, would you deal with us? Deal with those of us who are your children that really aren't serving you the way we should. Would you speak to us today? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.